Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America.
Hold it now!
Productions, one of the few Black-owned internet radio stations that addresses African-American issues and solutions, presents Black Urban America. The lineup is Saturday, Provocative Thought with Call to Sneed. Tuesdays, myself, Kenny Jones, Black Urban America. Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m., all these shows at 8 p.m., The Elephant in the Room with Jermaine Harris, Shaka Zulu. Every second Tuesday, we have Healthy Relationship with Ann Dillard, who does an excellent job. And on every third Tuesday, we have T. Nathan Farley, a political consultant. Tonight, you know, when President Trump says, make America great again, I didn't know he was talking about every issue, lifestyle, relationships, behaviors. There are states in 2019, and I know this is a regular practice, but there are states today that are still employing and implementing strategies to suppress the vote, mainly the Black vote. Voter suppression is a strategy that influences a group of people not to vote. And this happens in local elections, majorly in state elections. And there was an article by Lawrence Goldstein from the New Republic that says that voter suppression will be practiced in 2020 in the presidential election. Wow. How would they do that? Well, tonight, I have someone that has his business partner John Singletary, running for mayor, and they interacted with voter suppression, like 10,000 votes. 10,000 votes. And he's going to explain tonight how voter suppression really affects the election or the outcome. And, you know, it could be people with long lines that get turned away because of a signature, an ID, whatever strategy they use. And this is mainly, I said, for the past two presidential elections. Voter suppression has been an issue. Counting votes, the machines. You know, so tonight I have Mr. Raymond Ramon, who is the owner and CEO of John Secretary, and Raymond Ramon. Am I pronouncing the last name correctly?
It's Ramon Roan.
Ramon Roan.
Ramon Roan, okay. Yes.
All right.
Half Latin.
Welcome to Black Up America. And I know y'all just finished a campaign. And aren't you in the courts fighting the outcome?
Yes, we are. What happened was we're disputing the results of the election because of the 10,000 that was denied the right to vote in the mayoral election.
I had the number correctly. With 10,000 votes,
right.
Were they majority black votes?
Right. Majority, we lost the election numerically by 1,600 votes, but you're talking about 10,000 votes that weren't counted, that they were denied the right to vote. And also, I think you mentioned about the voting booth. In the voting booth, we had four candidates running for mayor. And there were times, there was a section in our community to where they only had two candidates on the ballot. But there are five candidates running, but they only had two candidates on the ballot. So that means that the other three, which my candidate was one, they did not see those voters did not see his name on the ballot, and they were forced to vote for another candidate. So those
in your perspective, this practice has been going on for over 100 years, since the 1800s.
Well, when blacks were first allowed to vote, it actually in, I believe, in 1870. I could be wrong.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, you have voter suppression in the act of the poll taxes, and other forms of intimidation of denying people, which is, you know, intimidation also is voter suppression. But today what they're using today
I've seen voter intimidation.
Right. I mean, you know, you consider this is that from 1880 to 1968. 5,000 people were lynched. Majority, I think 80% of those were black, and they were lynched because many of them were lynched because they were exercising their right to vote. So for me, voting as a black man is a requirement. It's a necessity because I don't want people like Mary Turner to have died for nothing. Mary Turner was the woman that was pregnant, that was lynched in Georgia. Mm-hmm. So I don't want her to die for nothing. So I'm going to vote. Now, sometimes I listen to one of your other broadcasts, and, you know, sometimes you don't know who to vote for, you know, and you don't vote. And
You listen to that show?
Yeah, I caught it. Yeah, I listen to it.
Should we vote or what have you? But at the end of the show, I said, don't forget to vote. It was on election night. Don't forget to vote.
Right.
I was just trying to take us through two different thoughts. One thought we have a significant number of African Americans in this country that feels that their vote is being taken granted, and their vote is not being counted, and their voice is not being heard. So and then I'm trying to give another perspective how it should be important to us, for us, especially local and state elections, to vote because of the historical fact that people died for the right to vote. At least exercise your choice to vote. So
right.
I'm trying to give
right.
those two perspectives of how it sometimes, especially when you're a young man, you know, the conflict within oneself, like, you know, I can't even, like, some politicians feel that they're unapproachable only once every 4 years. And sometimes there are significant negative issues that are addressing our communities across this country.
Right.
So
I'm
just
trying
to get two different sides.
Well, I enjoyed the conversation. But what I was looking at for the one I would like to say is that the local election should be a priority for us, especially black folks. And let me give you an example. Give you two examples. One is Maynard Jackson in Atlanta. Maynard Jackson, when he was elected, he shut down what is now the Atlanta International Airport was being constructed. And he shut it down because unless we have a black contractor, there will be no airport. And he shut it down. So what happened, as a matter of fact, H.J. Russell was got the contract, and which is one of the largest black-owned construction companies in the nation. So when we look at Mayor Barry in Washington, D.C., right now today, there are millionaires because of Barry. So, you know, when we look at this, we have to say to ourselves that the local elections are more important than your elections for running for president. Now, I'm not saying that the running for president is not important, but the one that's closest to you governs best. Now, in our particular case, the mayor here, which is Mayor Keith Summey, he controls a budget of over $150 million. $75 million is in contracts, jobs and contracts. Well, that's what black people need. Black people need contracts. So now, of the $75 million in jobs and contracts, $75 million in contracts, well, the largest employer for black people is actually black-owned businesses. But, however, in this city, of the $75 million in contracts, blacks only see – they have a share with the other races, $2 billion. But yet we're 50% of the population.
Two
so
male.
50% of the population should get – and I think it was a rapper, I can't remember his name, when he talking about parity. We should get parity. We should be one pair. If we're 13% of the population, we should get 13% of the contracts. Well,
right.
John Singletary was running on the position of parity. If we're 50% of the population, why can't we get 50% of the contracts?
Oh, say this again now. Now, let me get this right. Raymond, let me get this right. You 50 million of the population in North Charleston, right?
50% of the population.
You're 50%,
right.
And you
right.
only see $2 million of a $75 million contract?
That's right. So now, see, that bleeds over into a lot of things. That bleeds over into our education system. That bleeds over into your poverty. We have a poverty rate in North Charleston. We have some areas that have an 80% poverty rate.
Really? 80%?
That's right, 80%. 80%, they got some neighborhoods that have 80% poverty rate. So what happened, what that does is that when you're talking about your education, is they're going to be falling your tax dollars. Well, the people that are living in that, in those high poverty areas, they're gonna have to get the tax dollars that they need to get better schools so their children can get better education. We have a poverty rate in North Charleston of around 23%. That's almost double the national average of 12%. But the state average is 19%, but yet we are the richest city in South Carolina, but yet we have the highest poverty rate. We also lead the state in murders and crime, violent crime. And so the importance of voting, particularly here in North Charleston, locally, is critical to the continue to the black community. So if we want to go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is the mayor of the city white?
Yes.
Or Republican?
City white.
White Republican.
No. See, I don't subscribe to any political party. I'm an independent. But I would say that he went into office as a Democrat.
Okay.
He later switched parties to Republican. But you know, I don't trust none of them.
Yeah, they said there's no difference between the Democrat or the Republican party. There's no difference.
I listened to a brother. I think that even in your last the broadcast that I listened to, you talked about a black agenda. And I would vote for a Republican.
I was going to ask you that later. Should African Americans have their own agenda? Go ahead.
I am subscribing. I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. It's your thoughts. Go ahead.
Okay. I subscribe to Dr. Claude Anderson's view. We should that black people.
I'm aware of him. I'm aware of Dr. Anderson.
Dr. Glanner said black people should get out the Democratic Party and get out the Republican Party, have your own party. We should have you vote for whoever.
We've been trying that since the 60s. We've been trying that since the late 60s, have our own party. It appears that I just don't know. I agree wholeheartedly. But I just don't know it can be pulled off. Like having your own gender. What show we'll talk about? Have the black convention and whatnot.
Well,
too many groups.
Okay.
Too many black groups out there. Too many.
Well, I would say that. Right, I would say that I don't think it needs to be organized as a party. But what I'm saying is that you should say, hey, if you got a black agenda and you're Republican, you got my vote. If you're a Democrat, you got a black agenda, you got my vote.
Right.
That's how I look at it as far as parties concerned. I don't think that we should have a organized party as the Democrats or libertarians or that, whatever. I don't think so. I think that we ought to have, because we need to know, what are you going to do to get our vote? What have the Democrats did? Because primarily since the 60s, they've been getting the black vote. And the question would be, what did they do to get the black vote? Martin Luther King was going to Washington, D.C. for to get a check. Okay. Mm-hmm. They killed him. So we want, we're not getting what we deserve. I mean, who is going to, we had 8 years of Barack Obama, and he was against reparations.
Yeah.
What was the reason for that?
People say we gave rep that, that not too many blacks as a group really made a progress during his administration. I mean, we was happy with the historical notes, but really, it was kind of disappointing. I was expecting to see something else. Better schools in our community, you know, the crime rate, which we were talking about Saturday on another show on the We Talk Productions. But you gotta expect to see something else. But it went into an opposite direction. Like you said, addressing of the wealth issue, 80% of a community in poverty, not in 2019. I expect to see our community to make some progress under his administration, but it just didn't happen.
Well, and too many black people, many of our people, we give him a pass. I don't know why, but we give him a pass. And, you know, saying that, well, the Republicans did this. Well, the Republicans blocked this, blocked that. Well, he didn't need the Republicans he didn't need a single Republican to pass a health care law. So don't give me, you need the Republicans. The Republicans were blocking you. You didn't need not a single Republican voted for the health care law, and you made it law. Well, why couldn't you make the Voting Rights Act permanent? You got to do it every 25 years. Why? Why didn't you, when you had the stimulus package, and I know we're off topic, we were talking about voter suppression, but when you had the stimulus package. You had the stimulus package, and why wasn't
people not to vote, or people don't want to vote because of these reasons.
Why wasn't that black got on that $1 trillion stimulus package, why, and I believe they had set aside for like $42 billion to minorities, but minorities only got like 1-2% of that money. That was in the Huffington Post article, by the way. But back to the local elections. The local elections are, you know, such in our particular case, and I hope you have John on your show because he can really he's done a lot of research on what happened with our campaign, and he was going to tell you about how they cheated in the campaign, but we had 10,000 people that were unable to vote. But not only that, we have, there's a term called, and I hope your listeners can look it up, it's called municipal underbounding. What municipal underbounding is, they're using annexation to deny your right to vote. So if you're not annexed in the city, and though you live in the physical, geographical city limits, if you're not annexed, you can't vote. That's another form of voter suppression. And until we, as a people, come together, and because I'll give you these numbers here, that around 50 to 55% of black people vote during our general elections. But when it comes down to our local elections, we fall below 20%. And our local election has so much more importance because the president does not control the budget of North Charleston, does not control on how traffic is routed in North Charleston. Trump, Bush, or Obama does not control on how we spend the money in North Charleston or in your city. Whatever that city is, the president does not have a say-so on how that money is spent, who gets the contracts. So right now we're talking about the average wage in North Charleston for a black family of four is at $36,000 a year. $36,000 a year, a family of four. You're just above, for a family of four, just above poverty, above the poverty line. All right. The average family, white family of four, is at $66,000 a year. That's in North Charleston. Now the cost of living here is low, but at $36,000, you can't miss a paycheck. you're not buying
a
home.
You're going to have to make some serious choices on the budget.
Yeah, you're not buying a you're not buying a home. You're not buying because the average house price, the median house price in North Charleston is $175,000. Well, if you're at $36,000, you ain't buying no house. You're not buying a house. So that means that you're going to be a renter. And when you're a renter, you're at the mercy of the landlord, because if the landlord says that I don't want to be annexed in the city, guess what? You're living at a house. You can't vote.
Well,
so the importance of local elections is that we want to bring wealth into the black community. We're not going to get it by reparations. Because though they're having the discussions and although there's a bill, I can't remember the name of the bill, the number of the bill, but reparations is not going to come anytime soon. But what can come is contracts into the black community. And for us particularly, $75 million, we're talking about millions of dollars that would be influx into the black community. That changes the whole ball game here in North Charleston. And if we can do it here, and now, you know, we're talking about the Civil War started here in Charleston.
Right.
So we're dealing with racism that's historic in nature.
It's
and we still have
–
sure enough, it is. I mean, you know, the Walter Scott – in the black community, Walter Scott, you remember the – I know you heard about the news 4 years ago. Yeah, it was 4 years ago when Walter Scott, the guy that was shot in the back by the police officer.
Mm-hmm.
That's North Charleston. That's North Charleston. And they tried to cover it up. And if it wasn't for the young man that recorded that video, it would have been covered up.
That's why I really endorse, you know, the idea of our own agenda that these politicians, black and white, not only white politicians, there are black, I know personally, black officials that they elected said one thing on their campaign, and when they got in office, they disappeared. As all about nepotism, money, and they lose track of what is needed in our communities across the nation, and it's really sad. It saddens me that everyone suffers when we don't get the right people in. And I see communities make comeback because they got the right people in. And sometimes,
right,
it's a 50-50. You just don't know.
Yeah, you're right. You just don't know. You're right. I can't speak for every candidate, all right. But John Singletary has a history. We've been fighting discrimination for well over 18 years in this community.
Yeah,
so
he's on every committee in your town, right? He's on every committee, or participate in every organization. Excuse me one second. Anybody that's listening by laptop. You can dial 909-265-9215. That's 909-265-9215 if you have a question. If you want to be part of the conversation. Okay, right back to you.
So he has a history. His family is a family of educators. He's had the experience, and he has a war. The first campaign that we ran, which is 2015, the mayor, along with the Channel 5, which is a local television channel, and the local paper, accused him, said that he had went to jail for solicitation. And so when they did that, it was a defamation of character. So he had to go to court to fight that. And it's still in court today.
Wow.
But how do you fight something? How do you fight a lie? It takes a lot of time and money to fight a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we believe that all that was done to to affect the results of the last in 2015, but this year, this election, they did it electronically. We believe that they did it electronically. But our issue as Black people is that we need to understand the importance of the vote. Now I cannot, especially in the local elections. And who we vote for, that's important. That's equally as important. But we need to put candidates that have a Black agenda. I listened to a guy on he's on my Facebook page, but he has a broadcast called Afro Synergy, T. West.
Yeah, T. West. I had him on my show. This year. Yeah, I had him on my show.
Right. Well, John was on his show.
Well, last winter.
Yeah, John was on his show, and T. West made what is called the Black Agenda. And every candidate, and it may not be exactly the way T. West puts it, but every candidate, you want to know what's your Black Agenda. Because let me tell you something, the Europeans have an agenda. They got it in the agenda. And so we need to have our own agenda. And so until Black and we vote, with the intelligence of that, hey, this is a war. you have to think about, hey, this is a war. And this is battle. And it may not be, it's the battle for the survival of our community. And
the ones that are left.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you consider this is that, and I believe in 2053, they said that the average wealth for a Black family would be zero. 2053. We're not that far from it. 2053. Right now, I listened to a brother named from Tone Talks, Antonio Moore, and he does a lot of stuff on economics, a lot of program on economics. And he said that the average family, Black family, has a wealth of $1,400 minus the family car. $1,400. The average wealth for white family. Antonio Moore. The average white family has we're talking about $180,000 in wealth. Huge difference. We don't have, you're talking about the Republicans like to say, that you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Well, when we came out of slavery, we didn't even have boots.
Yeah, we didn't have boots, barely had the socks.
Sure enough, you're right, about that. So
there is a group, there are groups of Black folks that say, forget them. Forget depending on the politician. Let's start doing things on our own. Let's start becoming entrepreneurs. Let's become small business owners. Let's start taking responsibility for our own kids' education. Let's secure our own communities. How about people with that thinking process?
That's fine and dandy, but you're still talking about, the reality is that you still have a wealth of $1,400. And meanwhile, you have to share $2 million amongst, over 50,000 people. And you have a lesser that gets a share of $73 million. Home ownership is down in the Black community. We have, matter of fact, in 100 years ago, Blacks had more land than we got now.
Yeah.
So, We cannot. I mean, and I go back to Dr. Claude Anderson. It's vitally important for that to be in our wheelhouse in voting and politics. It's very important for us to do that. Could you imagine? Could you imagine that if you had a community that was only seeing $2 million in contract, now seeing $37 million in contracts?
That's a big difference.
Huge difference, man. Huge difference.
And hopefully, these black contractors will be doing business with other black businesses.
See, right, exactly.
Got to keep that $37 million rotating in our communities. But if we could get the $37 million, but that $37 million is going in other communities, other cultures.
Well, we need right. Well, I know that you're probably aware of the fact that a dollar in the black community lasts about 6 hours.
Is that long?
And
we only see 1 cent. Only 1 cent of that dollar stays.
Right.
In our communities are owned by other cultures.
Right, exactly. We're talking about our stores, a grocery store and all that stuff there, right? I understand that. But we have a generation, and say multiple generations of a mentality that we have to change. We have to change it. Believe me, before segregation, we had plenty of businesses. We had black banks. Sure did. Yeah. When integration came, it changed the whole day. Black hotels shut down because black people wanted to go inside the white hotels.
Yeah. We had a famous one in Harlem called Hotel Teresa. And now the sign is still there, but it's not a hotel any longer. A lot of our business are either bought by other cultures or we sell it to them.
We sell them to them, right. But to just imagine if we had our fair share in contracts and in jobs to where we would look. I believe that you talked about I listened to one of your broadcasts about other cultures, particularly with the Chinese. You know, they don't need the black. They don't need black. They'll sell to us. You know, they'll sell it. We can come and buy their hair or buy their products. But they have a culture where they look out for each other. Now we black people, we do look out for each other when we can. But if your income is at $36,000 a year, you're going to try to make that money last. So you're going to go to Walmart instead of the corner store that's owned by a black man that cannot match Walmart's prices.
Right.
And believe me, Walmart gets a lot of money.
If that store is owned by a black man, my experience, and this is what I've been seeing, and this is what I've been hearing from other people in different parts of the country, you have Indian-owned stores, you have the Chinese having their restaurants in your community, not selling nutritious foods. You have the Latinos. They start businesses, especially in the urban areas, they start businesses in a predominantly black community.
Well,
take our money out. Gas stations. Again, we all got to go to the gas station to gas up your car. Most gas stations now are owned by Indian culture.
Yeah, but again, one thing that those cultures don't have in them is chattel slavery. We got that in our history.
Yeah.
And so the Chinese, you know, they could get Chinese and even from our motherland, They have a country that supports them. Chinese have a country that supports them. Where do we have our support at? We were brought
you
this
know,
land
I'm just
this
stuff.
Year.
I mean this. And I rarely give my opinion about issues. We better start supporting each other. We spend like $1.3 trillion for $36,000 a year. That's a whole lot of consuming money. If we just had eighth of that $1.3 trillion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I know it's difficult for us to start businesses. I know that. I know it's difficult for us, and it's also a whole psychological thing to it too. Once a person, a black man or a black woman, a black person, start a business, are we going to patronize it? Are we going to go buy from that person? Are we going to spend with that person? Are we going to utilize his or her services?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I think that it's very difficult for you to ask a single mother of three children. She's got to make that money. She's going to do the best she can to manage that money and for that money to last. And so you can't fault her for going to trying to find the cheapest place to where she can buy her food from.
Overpriced. I mean, that is a stereotype that black business owners have.
First of all, it'd be hard to find a black grocery store. Secondly, the other thing is that those little stores that the Arabs have, they're overpriced. And you can find a fast food. You can find a McDonald's in a black on the food desert because we have a food desert here in North Charleston. You can find Burger King and McDonald's, but you can't find a grocery store. So where our money is going at? Well, it's going to places that we shouldn't be going. No grocery store, be it black or white, in certain areas in our community. I know they had it. I mean, we still, with our campaign and importance of supporting local candidates with black agenda, is that we have an issue of gentrification.
Yes.
And gentrification is not just a race issue, it's an economic issue.
Right.
If they can drive a certain class of people, in this instance, black people out of a certain area, and how in our area, it's what they did was that they denied putting a grocery store. So if you starve them out with food because you can't get food here, and as there, we don't have a grocery store here, well, you know, they're going to start leaving. And that's what happens. And what happens when it's no fully gentrified? Guess what? A grocery store comes. Very nice upscale grocery store. They come.
And the little cafes. And don't forget about the cafes and the eateries.
Right, exactly.
Guess what else comes? Proper, appropriate, respectful law enforcement.
Yeah.
Proper, appropriate, and respectful law enforcement come to that neighborhood. I've seen it.
I've seen
gentrification one time. They took over Harlem, and Harlem is not even Harlem as I was a kid.
Am I right? Isn't it there are Whole Foods in Harlem?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I was like, when I saw, man, it's fully set in. Yeah, Whole Foods in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never thought it.
Yes.
So the bottom line for me is the importance that we should be voting locally. We should be we should challenge our mayor, whoever that mayor be, white, black, or whatever. What are you doing for our community?
But we got to go meetings too. Now we got to.
Yeah, we sure do.
If we're gonna vote, and we're gonna be an active voting member of the city, the state, or the county,
mm-hmm.
you have to go to these. It's one thing. How you think the Tea Party got so powerful? They started at mm-hmm. the local level, having town hall meetings,
mm-hmm.
going to these different meetings and asking mm-hmm. questions and making their voices heard. That's something.
Mm-hmm.
I know it might be difficult. I know it might be difficult, but you know, we find time to do other things that's not in our best interest, too. At least
mm-hmm.
we could go to these, start going to these meetings. And I ain't talking about 5, 3, or 10. I mean, fill the room up.
Yeah, fill the room up. But I would say this, is that our educational system has a responsibility on why you don't see that. When I was going to school, I'm 57 now, when I was going to school, we had a civics class. I don't know if they have civics classes anymore with these people.
No.
I don't know the importance. I don't know it was important for us that if we were turning 18 when we were high school, that we registered to vote. Malcolm X said this, why do you have your enemy teaching your children? I believe the number is in the 80% of our teachers, maybe higher than that, are white teachers.
Mm-hmm. And that's why our reading and math score in USA Today about 2 weeks, it's in this month. I cut out the article, but I don't have it near me. But the mm-hmm. reading and math scores has not changed. Matter of fact, it has regressed. And that could be one of the reasons why. And also the materials, also the salary, mm-hmm. also the environment, mm-hmm. the overcrowding. You know, and that is the reason why we have a lot of black folks that are professionals, that are that are professionals, leave the community and go live in diverse community is because of the school system.
Right.
That's
Number
two reason is crime.
Right. Well, if we can improve our education, we can reduce the amount of crime. We can reduce the amount of poverty. And I give you an example from 1860. In 1860, the literacy rate among black people was around 5%. By 1919, it was over 70%. That's huge. Nowhere in human history had literacy rate risen so fast. Nowhere in human history. But now, those teachers were predominantly black teachers. Not white teachers, black teachers. From 1860 to 1919. So we need to have more teachers that look like us in that classroom because they're skin in the game. The white teachers don't,
You just hear what happened to the HBCUs, that like $250 million are being taken away from these HBCUs schools?
Yeah, I heard about it.
This is like...
I believe the HBCUs are very important for our kids because, one, it gives, you know, the cost is less, and it gives, you also have... the community that you have in community where there's a historical advantage to where you're going to be learning about us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important that, but when we're talking about primary education, our young boys and our young girls, they need to see black men and women teaching. And our young, it's not, and I'm not trying to be racist or anything like that, but I think that it's very important that our young people see examples. You know, our sons and daughters, they want to see, you know, they want to see mommy and daddy get along. So they can have, so when they grow up, they can say, hey, I'm going to treat my mama like my daddy treat my mama. We need to have examples in the homes, and we need to see examples in the schools. But we have a deficiency of, especially of male teachers. But I think that systematically, I think there was it's done that way, or rather pay, because pay for teachers is very important. And you're not going to get black male teachers to become teachers because of the pay is so low. Well, I think it's artificially low because they can pay those teachers more. I used to work in the
school. Yeah, I remember the nurses just received their respect, you know, of getting high salaries. You got to remember, you know, we live in a Western world that are run mm-hmm. by white men, old white men. Mm-hmm. They came up as women can't get a higher salary than a man. And teachers mm-hmm. always been thought of as a female institution there. So therefore, mm-hmm. their salary's always been lower. And just recently, mm-hmm. in the past 20 years, there've been increases in their salary. Now, I don't know what, mm-hmm. but the problem has been in a lot of communities that the teachers mm-hmm. are going out on strikes, and they finally getting their just due. And I remember when I was a young man, there was a big law enforcement too. There was a huge marketing thing to try to get black men into the schools. But it worked in some communities and it worked in other communities because I mm-hmm. guess in our minds, being a teacher was always seen as woman's work. That's what, mm-hmm. same with social workers. Social workers mm-hmm. always seen as a female occupation
mm-hmm.
because their salaries are low. You know, so, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why you may see that, the low salaries. It's again, you know, the old boy structure strikes again.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that. Yeah, but we need more black male teachers, and all I'm saying you need to increase the salary. I worked in the steel plant for about 13 years, and I met many former school teachers because the pay was just too, you know. They started the salary at the steel plant was $55,000. Well, starting to pay for a teacher. And believe me,
like
you didn't need
it. 580, it might have went up.
Right. Yeah, but I'm saying that if you're trying to raise a family, you're a man trying to raise a family, it's a different for, I'm not, it's different to where, you know, you may not say, hey, man, $35,000 a year. But when you're trying to raise a family, you want to buy a house and you want your kids to live in a good neighborhood. Well, $55,000 a year, starting salary is not bad at all. And so you're going to tell a teacher who may have been teaching English, decide, hey, I'm going to leave English teaching and I'm going to go work in a steel plant. What a huge change of careers. And because of the money, but
and
we need more. Right, we need more male teachers. I grew up in the 60s, and I didn't have a I had one, maybe two white teachers in the 70s. Two.
Oh, my teacher.
So,
was white.
And so
I grew up in an all black neighborhood.
Yeah, Here in South Carolina, all of my teachers, the majority said only two teachers that I had that were actually white. So
wow.
I can't. All I'm saying is that I think that we have a. I think that local elections are very important, and voter suppression is real, and we do need to increase our voter participation in our local elections, because if there was 10,000 people that were suppressed, was denied the right to vote, it should have made the news, but it didn't. And the reason why is because, one, we don't control the media. What's the black television station that we own? Yeah, we got reporters on those stations, but we don't have ownership there.
No, we don't.
Black media is the
cable station. And matter of fact, Byron is taking Comcast to
the court.
Over that. Yeah.
Right.
Well, a couple of minutes left. We're about to end. Give us your information.
Well, I want you to, I'm plugging for my brother. Please, John, visit John Singletary for mayor at in North Charleston. Yeah, John Singletary for mayor. Visit his website and visit his Facebook page, because on that we have videos of the actual voter suppression that was going on in this last election. And we are going to have a GoFundMe page, because we've got to use the legal system to fight this, and we'll need as many. I don't care if it's a dollar. We'll need your support, financial support. That's John Singletary for mayor. .com.
Okay, I thank you for coming on the show, and I'm gonna reach out to him. Pull bug in his ear that I'm going to be contacting him within the next week or two to have him come on the show.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you very much, and thank you, guest. Thank you, your audience. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good night. Yes, sir.
Good night. All right. That's another week of Black Urban America. Okay. And, they still doing this. And I guess that's all part of making America great again. And I appreciate everyone for listening. And as always, and I know Carlton, I know you're listening. Come on next Tuesday. We could continue. I don't have nobody scheduled next Tuesday. You could come on next Tuesday we could finish our conversation. All right, Colin?
Okay.
All right. I hope you enjoy our little discussion there. All right. So, folks, I am because we are. We are because I am. I'm out of here.